Kubaka from Masson, and two great guests, by the way, on the program tomorrow night, Ryan Flaherty and Nick Markakis. And Rock joins us now. Rock, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Tough transitioning back from Sarasota to Baltimore weather and now back to Sarasota in a couple of weeks. I know you're hurting from that transition.
I'm hurting from all the shoveling I was doing yesterday and today. I was not counting on that, but luckily it was a nice, light, fluffy snow, so I was able to move it easily. But, yeah, it was kind of strange coming back from Sarasota, though I'll tell you, that last day there was windy and in the 50s, and anybody who's been to Florida, you know, 50s in Florida feels like it's 20 or 30 for some weird reason. Like, it was really so cold, so it's going to have to heat up in the next 3 weeks here.
Let's hope it does. Have my travel date set, and we're excited to get down there, and hopefully it will be an intriguing spring training for the Orioles. And, Rock, let's start, obviously, with the big news in baseball today. The massive contract for Tanaka, it's twofold. One is we can comment, and we have been doing it, on what the Yankees have done this offseason and what that means for the Orioles, the American League East, for really all of baseball. Just absurd spending, even by their standards, at $491 million to date, and I'm not even sure if they're done. And then the other side of it is, does that create, and you wrote about this today, some sort of domino effect to the remaining pitching free agents? What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's certainly, you know, the popular theory is that all these players and all these agents were waiting to see what Tanaka got, who he signed with, and now the market's just going to bust wide open and there's going to be a flurry of activity. But to me, I mean, obviously you're going to have teams that were in on Tanaka, and there are at least five, I guess, down the stretch. They're now going to have to look elsewhere. So that could go ahead and spark some activity in the market. But is anybody's price tag going down now after this today? It's bad enough that a Vargas gets 4 years, and other pitchers see that and say, well, if he can get four, I can get at least four or five. Now you got this guy getting 7 years, $155 million, not even counting the posting fee. So I don't think Matt Garza got any cheaper all of a sudden, or Irvin Santana. And on top of that, Santana and Jimenez are still going to cost you a first-round pick. That didn't suddenly disappear. So teams that considered that as a roadblock, that roadblock is still there. And we can specifically talk about the Orioles. If Garza's price is holding firm or going up, he's out of the realm of possibility for them. And they still don't want to give up that first-round pick. And there was a report the other day that some rival executives said that Santana's demands are still just, like, outrageous. So as far as the Orioles are concerned, I don't think it changes anything there, and I certainly don't think it suddenly makes A.J. Burnett decide whether he's going to retire or not. I don't think it makes Jason Hamill say, oh, all right, I'll sign for 1 year. So I don't think it's going to speed things up for the Orioles or some other teams. But, you know, at some point, I think what does do that is the reporting date for pitchers and catchers. I mean, if you're a free agent pitcher, aren't you a little nervous right now? And you're certainly going to be a week or two from now when you're contacting your agent saying, look, I need to know where I'm pitching this year. My wife and kids would like to know. I'm still on the market. I would think that's where maybe you could start get some activity. At some point, these guys have to sign somewhere.
Yeah, it's a massive game of chicken right now, it seems like. And if any of these guys are like me, I hate uncertainty. And there will be some action, I think. I'm not sure it's going to involve the Orioles, but there will be some action here soon. I mean, it's obviously been a very quiet offseason for Baltimore as far as any big moves. And we know Rock fans are very discouraged about the offseason. I think that's a fair way to put it at this point.
I would say so. And I think the Q&A sessions with Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter, FanFest, could be very interesting.
Yep.
And, you know, I know there are fans saying they're not going to go. Well, if nothing else, you should go just for that reason. And it, you know, but yeah, I mean, I know for a fact none of the local media here ever promised big spending by the Orioles. It's always the national guys, not all of them, but some that will suggest, hey, on paper, you look, they're poised to make a run, and their payroll's blah, 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 and they're getting X number of dollars in, so they should be players for the big names. And that just doesn't happen. I mean, they're not expecting that at all. But I certainly thought by now there would be at least one kind of impact acquisition, which was supposed to, I guess, be Grant Balfour, and that didn't work out. And, you know, every time I talk to Dan Duquette or anybody else in the organization, they say starting pitching is the priority. They have to go out and get a starter, an innings eater, and I keep coming back with, well, good luck trying to do that if you're not going to offer a deal for more than 3 years and you're not willing to spend what, you know, the market is dictating right now. It's going to be very hard to get that pitcher unless you can get, again, a Bronson Arroyo at your price or an A.J. Burnett for 1 year. I just don't see otherwise. And then there are fans that will argue that those aren't good enough names for the American League East right now. But it's just going to be, I know they're focused on starting pitching. I just don't know how you get that done if you're going to keep digging your heels in and say, we're not going to spend and we're not going to go more than X number of years for this guy when everybody else seems to be willing to do that.
Rock Kubaka from Masson. And, Rock, you're absolutely right, and that is the conundrum the Orioles are in right now. And it's just so perplexing to just totally rule out any starting pitcher by saying we're not doing more than 3 years. Certainly, it's a valid point to say you don't want to give up a first-round pick when you really almost have to cherish those if you're a smaller market club. But to rule out any pitcher, any starting pitcher in baseball for more than three, even those guys they eventually one day hope to develop, Chris Tillman, Kevin Gausman, good luck retaining any of them.
Right. Now, they have shown more of an inclination to re-sign their own guys at, you know, beyond that. I mean, you know, we've seen that with some of the gut players, at least offers that have been made. But, yeah, I mean, it just puts you at a huge disadvantage. Now, I understand if you want to say, look, we're not going to give a pitcher 7 years and we're not going to go $155 million plus. All right, I get that. And who knows, he may end up being well worth it, Tanaka. We don't know. But I can understand that, you know, but – there are other guys that I just, you know, if you really want to make a run at it here and you feel like you've got this window of opportunity and you see what everybody else is willing to spend, then, yeah, I think it's, I don't know, saying we don't want to go beyond 3 years, it might be a bit outdated because that's just how the market is now. And, again, I keep using Vargas, a guy the Orioles really like. But if he's going to get 4-32 from, I believe that was the Royals, then, you know, no wonder all these guys are holding out for more. I mean, even Hamill at the winter meetings, it was worried that he was looking for at least a 3-year deal all of a sudden. And a lot of teams said, well, we can't justify doing that right now. But who can blame them for at least trying? And yep. Again, maybe by, you know, the next week, the week after, whatever, then these guys will lower their demands. But, you know, if I was a starting pitcher out there and I had at least a small track record, I would certainly be trying to hold out to get those extra years and extra dollars.
Yeah, Scott Feldman, 3-for-30. That's absolutely amazing. I feel bad or even silly even asking this one, Rock, but what's the latest with Tyler Colvin? I'm not even sure I even care that much about that move, and you somewhat wrote the same thing today.
I mean, I guess we're supposed to pretend I'm going to date myself here. Maybe this is even beyond you, but back when they had that series Dallas, when they killed off Bobby and then decided, well, that was a bad idea, and suddenly he was in the shower and it was just a dream scene. So maybe the whole Tyler Colvin thing never happened.
Never happened. Can we pretend it never happened?
Yes, exactly, because I know, I mean, the club's not commenting on it. And I talked to somebody who said, look, why should we comment on something that we never even confirmed or announced? It was, you know, guys in the media that decided to write that we had an agreement with this guy. We never said we did. Well, you know, I have it confirmed by multiple people that he took his physical exactly a week ago, last Wednesday, and, you know, a couple of days at the mini camp before the news broke, I knew that there was, and so did Ed Encina, he was there from the Sun, we both knew that they were going to sign a pitcher, or an outfielder, excuse me, to a major league deal, and they were setting up the physical. But, you know, and it wasn't going to be a huge name, but there was another outfielder who was going to be added. And it ended up being Colvin. And now all of a sudden we're not hearing anything. And all I can do is speculate that there was something with the physical. Stop me if you've heard this one. And maybe, and again, I'm really floating this one out there, but maybe it's like a J.R. Jurgen situation where there was something they weren't real comfortable with and are trying to negotiate a minor league deal instead. And he's going to wait and see if he can find a major league deal somewhere else. Maybe that's what happened, but there's like absolutely nothing to report otherwise. And I know I checked with somebody today, and they said the reason you're not getting any answers is because there aren't any. There's nothing else to report at this point. So we may never see Tyler Colvin, or we may see him in an entirely different deal, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't take a week to go over results of a physical.
Not for Tyler Colvin. I can't imagine. Rock Ubako for Masson, and of course tomorrow night, Hot Stove Baseball right here on BAL, 7 o'clock, Jim Hunter and Rock. Special guests include Nick Markakis, talking to an Oriole official yesterday. The reports have been absolutely glowing on Nick, working out hard, and also Ryan Flaherty on the program tomorrow night.
And I think there's two really interesting stories with Markakis, certainly, because I've been hearing the same thing. He's finally gotten a chance to work out. It's like he hasn't been able to the past two winters. He's going to be in great shape, and we'll find out whether the fact that he couldn't work out the way he normally does, whether that's why his numbers were in such decline this past season. He wouldn't admit that to me toward the end of the year when I talked to him. He said he just didn't make adjustments that he normally would make and needed to make at the plate, which I found a little odd for being a veteran hitter, but we'll see. And, you know, he may end up being the leadoff hitter, so that's a whole angle there. And then with Flaherty, it looks like at least for now he's going to be the starting second baseman unless, you know, Weeks or Casilla beat him out. And I would think it's going to be Flaherty because I don't think they're looking to bring in another second baseman. So this could be a very big year for him. So certainly those two guys are going to garner a lot of interest in spring training among the media because they're going to provide plenty of stories for us.
FanFest now just about 10 days away, so we look forward to that. Rock, thank you.
My pleasure.
That's Rock Ubako. We'll come back with more next here on BAL.